Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Looking for wholesale lumber to the public? Go to RMFP.com. Looking for something great for dinner tonight? Highly recommend Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew, two great locations in the Denver metro area, one in North Denver, the other one in Centennial off of Arapahoe Road. They smoke their meats for hours and hours, talking about the brisket and the ribs and the wings. They have a smoked Reuben. Their sides are outstanding, great non-barbecue options. That chicken marsala, I don't think five-star restaurants do it as better as Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew. We're going to give away $20 in the second hour of the show. Let's take the show on location. Let's go down to Hurricane Central in Florida and bring in our correspondent, Andrew Mason. Andrew, what is going on down there right now?
Oh, well, it's actually all calm. Yesterday it was not calm, as you may have made everyone aware, had a squall blow through where we were, and we lost power for a while. And so it's funny, like most of the Bay Area, the Tampa Bay area, did not have a lot of damage. We were dealing with a power outage for a while, but eventually we got back up. Here we are, just a few downed limbs and branches and that sort of thing. And now it's left behind a very calm day here in West Central Florida. How are things in Colorado?
Good, but I want to get back to this. So your parents have lived through this stuff before. You mm-hmm. are an adult. I'm sure you've been through some sort of a natural, not necessary mm-hmm. disaster, but you've been through some harsh weather conditions. How did your now 8-year-old daughter, Charlotte, handle all of it?
Well, here's the funny thing. We had that squall that I spoke of that caused the power to go out, but then it kind of settled down for a little bit before the bulk of the storm came in. The worst of this tropical storm, briefly a hurricane, Elsa, the worst of it passed through overnight between about 1 and 6 a.m.
Oh, Charlotte slept through it.
Slept through it all.
Good for her. That's great. So now, I can tell you there's one thing she didn't sleep through, and I want to get into this briefly before we hit the first segment of the show. You and Amy, your wife, took Charlotte and some friends to the Rockies game, I believe, on Saturday for fireworks night. Looking at the video that I saw on AT&T Sports, I know she was not sleeping through that. How was that experience?
That was pretty amazing. And she had some friends over for her birthday. Eventually, at the end of the night, we were on the field watching the fireworks. But she said it was the best birthday she's ever had. And I'm thinking, yeah, I certainly hope it was.
Yeah.
And
wait till next year, you're going to have to top it. Good luck.
That's the thing. I turned to my wife at the end of the night and said, I don't know where we go from here.
You don't. It's all a letdown. It's going to be years and years of disappointment, which is going to turn into years of therapy for her.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Because no birthday party could be quite like her ninth birthday. Yeah.
I don't think so. Oh, ninth birthday. By the way, a very, very happy birthday today to a Ringo Starr. And mm-hmm. oh, by the way, my now 13-year-old daughter.
Oh, my goodness. Mia's officially a teenager.
She's officially a teenager. And I have a 20-year-old son. So I don't know if I've gotten through the difficult years or they are just beginning. I've lived through one teenager, fingers crossed. This new teenager is going to be smooth sailing, but I will let you know by you looking at me and seeing how much hair I have, which is not a lot. What I do have is currently gray. The rest is all scalp. Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Go get some tonight in Denver, Centennial, Longmont, Lions, and Estes Park.
Well, I don't know if anybody watched the match last night. It was Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady against Aaron Rodgers and Bryson DeChambeau. Brady did a lot of talking leading up to this match. He is a talker. Aaron Rodgers doesn't really strike me as a trash talker. But at the end of the day, it's Aaron Rodgers' putter that did most of the talking as Rodgers and DeChambeau won. Not surprisingly, the announcers on TNT wanted to know what Rodgers' plans were for this upcoming season. He was asked if he was going to return to the Packers. And his answer was, "We'll see." Two words. Can you interpret two words, or you can make it three words and a word and a contraction and another word? Not a lot of words, but do you interpret this any specific way?
I mean, it's funny. We've been looking for all sorts of interpretations on Aaron Rodgers. We've been looking for breadcrumbs here. I don't know. There's much to get from these breadcrumbs, however.
Yeah. We'll see, though. Leads me to believe the door is cracked. Now, from the people I've talked to who know him, the door is not cracked, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means exactly.
I think it means it's sort of the same thing that's been has been going on. He doesn't want to explicitly come out and say that he wants out. He doesn't explicitly want to look like the bad guy to Packer fans, like that when he did that interview with Kenny Mayne several weeks ago, when he made pains to point out how he felt about his teammates, how he felt about the coaches, how he felt about the fan base. I think a big part of that is, on some level, I think he just doesn't want to look. He doesn't want to be the enemy to Packer fans, to Packer Nation.
You know what's funny about that?
Yeah.
I covered, you know, Carmelo during his whole career with the Nuggets. Mm-hmm. Unless I'm not remembering something, I don't believe he ever said publicly he wanted to be traded out of Denver. Never said
it. Yeah.
Now, other people may have said it, but he never said it. Aaron, if you come here, God bless you. The Broncos have a chance to win another Super Bowl. But I got news for you. You don't have to say anything now because everybody knows how you feel. If you get traded, you forced your way out. Just because you are thinking in your own head, I won't say anything not to look like the bad guy, I got news mm-hmm. for you. Up in Green Bay, he looks like the bad guy. You might as well just come out and say it because there's no difference whether you do or not at this point.
Yeah, and I think we saw that back when they had that minor league baseball game up in Appleton and his face flashed on the scoreboard for a car commercial and the crowd booed.
Yeah.
Just seeing him. I mean, you have kind of this war of PR on both sides, but it's not like it's an open war. It's kind of like a cold war. It's all these things that are kind of being fought by these proxies rather than either side coming out and being direct. I mean, I wonder kind of what he's waiting for. If he's ever going to, and maybe he never says anything like Melo, like you mentioned, is he kind of waiting on the start of camp? And if Jordan Love looks bad, then all of a sudden Packer fans start clamoring for him, even though
it's not going to matter.
He doesn't want to be there. Better
Mace, than that. From what I've been told, they have offered him everything he wants. The original sticking point wasn't necessarily the drafting of Jordan Love. The real sticking point was he wanted more years on an extension, and the Packers were not willing to give it to him. They said, we'll give you the money, but we're just not going to give you the years. Well, the Packers have acquiesced. They have backtracked. And now, from what I have been told, they have given him the years and the money and what he wants, and he still wants out. There's nothing else the Packers can offer him. They can't offer to name the street in front of Lambeau Field after him. It's already taken. But even if they offered it, I don't think it's going to matter at this point. There's nothing else they could give him that he wants because he's getting everything he wants. And he has made it very clear, we'll see.
I mean, it's fascinating that kind of that he has turned down a deal that represents everything he wants, and yet he still keeps saying, we'll see. I mean, I'm trying.
It's because he's stubborn. Because he's stubborn. He cut off his family. When you shun Aaron Rodgers, He is vindictive. Like it, don't like it. That's apparently just the way he is.
It's good, but it's just kind of crazy to me that he clearly wants out. He clearly doesn't want to be there, yet he doesn't want to say those words directly. I mean, again, I think it's, you know, kind of wanting to be perceived in a certain light by the people that have supported him for the last 14 years or so. But it's just, I mean, people are going to make up their minds on their own whether they think Aaron Rodgers is the hero or the villain in all this, right? I mean, why not just come out and say it? I mean, I try to put myself in his shoes, but I have trouble kind of getting my arms around why, if he wants out, he doesn't say that he's out. He doesn't say it.
You know what? You know, my answer to that is, if you're going to piss off a lot of your teammates, which he has done over the years, and he really doesn't care what his teammates think of him, you know what I mean? When you are wired that way, and you're going to act how you act, and you really don't care what your teammates think of you, at least be consistent and be outspoken and say, I want out. Don't try and straddle the fence. People will respect you if you show them who you are instead of faking it. Yeah. And honestly, he's faking it. He just is. Just come out and say it then. Just come out and say it. Coming up after the break, we're going to bring in a longtime friend of mine, Tim Neverett. Used to work in the Denver market, then was the play-by-play voice of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Then he was the play-by-play voice of the Boston Red Sox, and now he is the play-by-play voice of the Los Angeles Dodgers. He just wrote a new book called COVID Curveball. Excited to have my friend Tim Neverett on next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason, watch us, smilehighsports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, for your next fence, deck, any project, not retail pricing, wholesale pricing, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, if you are a business owner, finding the right location is absolutely crucial to the health and success of your business. And that's why I'm telling you, you need to work with my friend Heather Taylor and her team at Impact Commercial Real Estate. They have 9 people working on your project. They have over 50 years of experience. They are hands-on. They think out of the box. They are creative, thoughtful, and they have dynamic real estate services. That's why their brokers are ranked consistently in the top 10 in the Denver metro area. So whether it's buying, selling, leasing, I'm telling you, their experience at large developers and small business owners, they will make an impact for you. Cannot recommend Heather Taylor and her team at Impact Real Estate enough. Go to impactcommercial.co. That's impactcommercial.co. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Mighty Plumbing and Heating. Why does Mighty Plumbing and Heating have nearly 155 star reviews? No one has better service and they will meet or beat any written offer. Go to mightyph.com.
So, Mace, I got to tell you something that really bothers me, and it has to do with our next guest, Tim Neverett. So I met Tim here when I moved here in 2004. He was doing fine here in Denver, and then he, you know, gets the play-by-play job with the Pittsburgh Pirates, and then he goes to the Boston Red Sox, and now he's with the L.A. Dodgers. The dude left me here and his career soared, probably right after he met me. I'm guessing there's a correlation there. Tim, how are you, my friend?
You were definitely the key, I got to tell you.
You think so? Was it me or Dave Benz? I can't remember.
No, it must be you because Dave's in Minnesota.
That's true. I am stuck here. So you are the play-by-play voice of the Los Angeles Dodgers, a storied history of great play-by-play announcers. You just finished, I believe, your first book called COVID Curveball. And to get Oral Hershiser to write your foreword, for that book. Must have been something special. But what was the genesis behind saying, you know what, I got to write myself a book?
You know, it was weird because it was during the quarantine. It was after spring training was shut down. I was just thinking during quarantine, we don't know what the season's going to be like. We don't know if we're going to have 60 games, 100 games, no games. So I thought, you know what, I should start chronicling things. So I went back and I wrote about what happened from the time I arrived at spring training till the time it was shut down and what the shutdown was like. And then once we started up again and I knew what the plans were, I just started writing every day, making a journal basically, but, you know, chronicling each day, chronicling each game, and, you know, really focusing on a couple of things. One thing for sure is how different things were, how strange it was, and what lengths the teams had to go to, not only to put games on the field, but to put broadcasts on, and about all the testing and the protocols and all the things that were just so, so different. And some of them still remain more than a year later. So I interject some of my own stories in there as well. So, but I just thought that, you know, because it was going to be so different, I thought I'd get ahead of the game. And, you know, little did I know at the time that the Dodgers would go on and win the World Series, and that just added to it at the end. So I will spoil the end of the book. The Dodgers do win the World Series in the book, too.
Tim, I have not seen the movie Titanic. I know it came out a long time ago. Don't tell me what happens with the ship.
Okay, I won't tell you at all, but it gets wet.
Jack. Now, in that time, you mentioned kind of spring training and then things come to a halt and then start again. In those months between spring training and restarting the season, did you ever, at that time, think there may not be a season at all as a result of this?
Yeah, I did, Mason. I mean, I thought that there were times when I didn't know what was going to go down. I thought there was a possibility we could skip the whole season. But when I saw that Major League Baseball was doing its very best to try to put some kind of a season on, and then they settled on 60 games, even when we were in the season, there were times when I wasn't sure we were going to complete it. And I thought there was a possibility at one point that they might have to shut the thing down because it seemed like a matter of time when the cases started moving west and more teams in the West were having positive cases. You know, I think of the St. Louis Cardinals in the Midwest and how they had a lot of cases. They lost a lot of games. You know, the Marlins, who the Dodgers play tonight, they had a lot of them at the beginning of the pandemic. So I think that, there were times when not just myself, but I think a lot of people thought that we'd never finish the season, and some thought we'd never even get it underway.
We're talking with Tim Neverett, the play-by-play voice of the Los Angeles Dodgers. He just wrote a new book called COVID Curveball. At the risk of stroking you too much, Tim, I'm guessing you did something historic by writing this book. I'm guessing this book that you wrote, chronicling a season, was the most difficult write in the history of books chronicling anything, because I am guessing you were not allowed to stand around the cage talking to the players. You were not allowed in the clubhouse talking to the players. You couldn't go to the executives and talk to them in person. How were you able to write a book basically virtually?
A lot of it had to do with Zoom.
Wow.
Zoom and texting. And yeah, you're right. I mean, we had no access at all to the clubhouse, to the field. You know, we didn't travel with the team. And typically when you travel with the team, you build relationships right. with players and coaches, and you can really get a lot of good information that you can use on the air. And I'll be honest, I've been recycling a lot of stuff for the last year and a half because I just haven't been able to get a lot. I actually had my first on-field conversations with a player just before this last, I'd say a week and a half ago. I actually was allowed down in the field, and I said, hey, that's with some player, and we talked for a little bit.
Right.
But it was amazing to be able to do that because we haven't been able to do that for so long. And so it did. I didn't try to take you in the clubhouse. I didn't try to take you, in back of the airplane because I wasn't there. But what I did do was give my perspective on the whole thing. And as much as I could take you inside places, I did. But, you know, it's mentioned right away, you know, the lack of access and how we had to deal with that as broadcasters and as, you know, for example, for all these years doing baseball, broadcasters have had all the access they've needed.
Right.
And all of a sudden, it went away, like cold turkey went away. So, you know, we're still in that somewhat as we speak, because broadcasters, for the most part, still aren't traveling with teams. Some are, very few, but, you know, we're not in L.A. So, you know, what's funny is I'll be in Denver for the All-Star game, and then I have to come back to L.A. and call the series on TV where the Dodgers play the Rockies in Colorado.
Wow.
So, go figure.
Have there been moments, or were there moments last year when you're calling the game off the monitors and maybe you kind of missed something or misjudged a fly ball because you didn't have the same view that you would have normally watching in person?
Oh, definitely. It's still happening. It happened last night. It happened the night before. There's all kinds of things that go on when you're just watching on TV, how much you miss. I'll give you the first example. We're playing the Angels last year. And actually, I think I chronicled this in the book, this example. Mike Trout's up, first at bat of the game. We have A.J. Pollock playing center field. So Trout hits a ball to center field. I see A.J. backing up on it, but you can't see the ball because it's not on the screen, right? Once it leaves Trout's bat, they cut to show a high view of the center fielder moving back, and you still don't see the ball. So A.J., you know, looked like he might have had it. I can't tell how deep the ball is hit. The next thing I know, it's 15 feet over his head, bouncing off the fake grass behind the wall. So, you know, you can't call a home run with conviction in most cases. That's why I think, you know, I'm more of a fan of the bat flip right now, because that tells me the guy hit it a long way.
Do you think that maybe our friend Drew Goodman had a couple of moments when he said, "You won't see it for," that's in his glove.
Instead of "you won't see it for long," right. "You won't see it for now."
Right, yeah. Right. Because he covered up the ball with his glove. For those who live in Denver that might be casual Dodgers fans, because, listen, people in L.A. are going to probably be your main market to buy your book, COVID Curveball. Whet our listeners' appetite with a story where they might say, "Man, I got to buy this book."
Interesting, because there's some stuff on the Rockies in there, too. Every game the Rockies played with the Dodgers is chronicled in there. That's number one. There's some thoughts on the Rockies. But also, I think what people might want to understand is that since 2017, when the Astros were caught cheating, when the news came out about that and everybody in L.A. found out about it and they're still upset about the World Series, the Astros had to come to Dodger Stadium last year to play in an empty stadium. And they needed more security than any other team that came in. They actually had a police escort from the hotel to the ballpark.
Wow.
Which I've never seen. And I was with the Red Sox playing the Yankees in New York many times, and we never had a police escort from the hotel to the ballpark. Probably needed it a few times, but didn't get it. But there was so much security around the Astros last year when there were no fans.
Right.
And then there's a little title called the Flying Circus, because somebody had rented out some airplanes that dragged signs behind them, and they flew them in a circle over Dodger Stadium during the Astros batting practice. And there's more to that story in the book that you'll read, but when they were in town, it was absolutely a flying circus, and there were no fans. Now, the Astros come back this year in August for a couple of games when there'll be 50,000 plus. And I can't even imagine what the atmosphere is going to be like on those nights.
Tim, how can people get the book?
You go on Amazon right now. There's two ways, actually. You can go to Amazon right now. It's available for pre-sale. It's in Kindle form as well. You can get the Kindle form there. There will be an audio book at some point later on. I'm going to record that later this month. But there's a special way to get hardcover copies only in Denver during the All-Star break. The publisher rushed some copies ahead of time. I've got a book event at noon on Monday at Tattered Cover in McGregor Square. I'll be there with Keith Law from The Athletic, having a Q&A about the pandemic season and how it's changed baseball, and I'll sign copies. And then right from there, I'm going over to Blake Street Tavern, and I'll be there from 1 to 6, both Monday and Tuesday. And we've got a limited run of copies, but we have a lot of copies there. And the best part, guys, is that for the first 20 people on Monday and the first 20 people on Tuesday that come to Blake Street Tavern and pick up a book and come by and say hi, I'm going to buy their first beer for them.
Wow. How do you like that? Are you also going to eat a bowl of green chili from Chris Fuselier and Blake Street Tavern for every book that you sell?
Well, if not for every book, I hope I don't have to eat, I hope I get to eat a lot of them if that's the case. But
right.
But at the same time, you have to have the green chili when you go there.
It's so good.
I mean, it's just it's kind of a rule.
It is. One more thing before let you go. I know you're not in town yet for the, you're not in town for the All-Star game yet, are you? Are you or not?
I'll be I'm at Dodger Stadium calling the Marlins and Dodgers on radio tonight. I'll be here calling the Diamondbacks series on the weekend on TV, and then Sunday night, I fly to Denver. I'll be getting in late Sunday night.
One quick thing I want to ask you. I have been told I'm not reporting this is the best way to put it. I don't want to put on a journalist hat and say this is what's going to happen. But I'm hearing whispers from people who I know, who know people inside the Rockies organization. They are not going to use the humidor for the home run derby. A, have you heard anything?
I hope not.
Okay, well, there we go. Have you heard the same thing? And would you be surprised if they don't?
I would not be surprised if they don't. Plus, typically the balls they use in the home run derby are different anyway. So they want to make sure they fly. But, I mean, they're going to be hitting some bombs at Coors Field. It's going to be a lot of fun. This could be one of the more fun home run derbies. You know, Joey Gallo committed to being in it. And he hit a 460-foot bomb today. Ohtani just hit his 32nd, I think within the hour. we're going to have a fun home run derby. And, I think they should keep the balls as far away from the humidor as possible for that contest. I'm expecting that they will.
Okay. Tim, thanks so much. We look forward to seeing you in town, Tattered Cover and Blake Street Tavern. The book is COVID Curveball, written by the voice of the LA Dodgers, our friend Tim Never. Thanks, my friend.
Eric, Mace, thanks a lot. You guys are invited down either Monday or Tuesday, whenever you can make it. And all your listeners, you're all invited down anyway, even if you just want to talk some baseball. That's fine.
Thanks, pal. Talk to you soon.
That's awesome.
Okay. See you. Thank you.
All right. Coming up after the break, a lot of people know that the Broncos pursued Matt Stafford in the offseason. So did the San Francisco 49ers. So did a lot of other teams. And Kyle Shanahan isn't happy with the outcome. Is George Payton happy with the outcome? Or is he unhappy like Kyle Shanahan? We'll talk about it next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. Reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Denver Exotic Rental Cars. Drive in style and luxury in a Lamborghini, Maserati, McLaren, or many other exotic cars at Denver Exotic Rental Cars. Rent for yourself or give a rental as a gift at DenverExoticRentalCars.com.
As has previously been reported, there were a lot of teams on Matthew Stafford, as pretty much everybody in the NFL knew that the Lions were going to wind up trading him. We know that the Rams were involved because they got him. The San Francisco 49ers were involved, and we have been told the Broncos were involved. And as the story goes, and as we found out today through Kyle Shanahan, Shanahan got a phone call saying there is a deal that is very, very close with the Rams. Of course, the Rams and the 49ers play in the same division. And that person said to Kyle Shanahan, you better make a phone call right now. Well, basically, before he could even pick up the phone, the deal was announced to the Rams. And Kyle said it was very frustrating for him that he found out the Rams got a really good quarterback in his division. Mace, we know that the Broncos and George Payton were involved as well. Kyle Shanahan said it was frustrating. Do you think if you asked George Payton if it was frustrating for him, he'd say it was frustrating?
I don't think he would.
Either
do
I.
I don't think he would. I don't think he'd tip his hand there at all, even though, I mean, they were in on him, but they weren't willing to match the price that the Rams gave the Lions for Matthew Stafford. But I don't.
Well, explain what that price was for those that don't know.
I mean, the price the price was a first round pick.
Are you looking it up? I can look it up for you.
Yeah,
I think it was. It was a first round pick for sure. It might have been two.
It was, yeah. I'm actually looking up the trade here because I didn't know that you were going to ask me what the details.
Well,
of the trade
I don't really. It's two first round picks. I don't need to ask you to look things up. You know this stuff off the top of your head. Yeah,
but it was also Goff. Remember, it was Jared Goff.
Yeah.
Two firsts and a third. Yeah. So effectively, there were things that the Rams could offer, including a quarterback who Brad Holmes, the Lions GM, hired from the Rams, actually likes and was a part of drafting back in 2016. There were things the Rams could offer the Broncos couldn't. But yeah, there's no way that George Payton would have tipped his hand. I mean, you look at how things have gone for the Broncos so far this offseason. They were in on Matthew Stafford. They were in the discussions of Matthew Stafford, although didn't get very far compared to other teams. They didn't get him. They kicked the tires on the young quarterbacks. I mean, you know what? One thing about this all happening the way it did is that the 49ers had gotten Matthew Stafford. It's possible the Broncos could have gotten Trey Lance,
right?
Which is someone who would have changed if he'd fallen to a certain point, would have potentially changed their plans in the draft. But out of respect to the players that he has, I don't think you would ever hear George Payton say he was frustrated that he couldn't get Trey Lance.
No,
not publicly.
I'm saying privately, not publicly. He would never say it publicly. Yeah, Kyle Shanahan said it publicly, which is fine. Privately, do you think he'd say he's frustrated? Because I don't think he would. I still don't think he would. You know why? Because of the point that you just made. He did not have the poker chips to offer. Mm-hmm. He knew that he could not compete. He could compete with a pair of first-round draft picks, but he could offer up Locke over Goff.
Right.
He could not do that. So what's there to be frustrated with when you know you only have a certain amount of poker chips sitting in front of you?
I think frustrated is probably the wrong word for how he may feel. Maybe slight disappointment, but I would probably say this. I expect that George Payton, if he was disappointed about a quarterback outcome in terms of what the Broncos pursued, was probably more disappointed that that Lance didn't fall to them than that they didn't get Matthew Stafford.
Right. What do we have coming up on Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it?
Well, we will talk a little bit about what you guys talked about yesterday, the Rockies losing on the road and the fashion in which they lost more specifically. Also, we'll get into the International Olympic Committee making a very stern statement about political commentary during the games. That's coming up next right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Uh-huh, yeah, I drink a Boost for breakfast, an Ensure for dessert. Somebody order pancakes, I just sip the scissor. That right there could drive a sane man bizarre.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, not retail, I'm talking for your next project, go wholesale. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or find them at rmfp.com. And right now, I want to bring in the marketing director for Rocky Mountain Forest Products, a guy I'm going to be playing golf with later this month, my man Taylor. How are you, my friend?
I am doing absolutely fantastic. How are you guys doing?
How are you guys still in business going wholesale where everybody else goes retail?
You know, I don't know. We actually were having a conversation with this earlier today of ironically, lots of lumber yards could do this, but most of them don't take the time and most of them don't buy enough material. And so it's outside of the real big dogs. We're one of the few who can.
Okay, so there are a lot of big dogs out there. I mean, I'm not going to start naming box stores because they buy in bulk. They clearly can if they wanted to. Why don't they and why do you?
Well, and so that one, That one's a little weird. So on certain products they do, but then on other things they don't. And that's actually tied back to the relationship of the industry. A lot of times, unfortunately, some of those shops don't treat the mills well, and so the mills don't like to sell to some of those shops. And so that's where having a good relationship and doing the right things for 45 years actually plays out not only on the vendor side, but also to the public down the line.
I have been told because of supply chains, I know aluminum was hit really hard, but I've also heard that lumber has been hit really hard. How has that affected you, and how has that given you an advantage over the big box stores?
Yeah, so because a lot of our product sets, we buy a step above the supplier that they're purchasing from, we were actually buying loads of material before the box stores were even offered them in many cases this year. And so that was why we had material being able to service contractors and homeowners, when if you went into one of the big box stores just to do one fence, they were going to have to pull your stock from six different locations. And I had, you know, seven trucks on the ground. And so it's we get to move a little bit faster. We have more opportunities to us, but because of that, those relationships, we just have more options and flexibility. And then that all gets passed down to the homeowner and the contractor.
This is more of a generalization, but I want to try and pin this down into some harder numbers. Let's say you are building a fence, for the sake of argument. What kind of materials do you use for your slats? Meaning, is it a 1x3, 2x4? What do you use?
For your actual pickets, they're going to be, in our market, they're going to be 1x6x6. If you have a newer home, it's going to be 1x6x5.
Okay, so 1x6x6. What does one piece of lumber cost somebody coming to you?
So for the picket that you see most common in our market, you're typically going to pay from us about $3.99 to $4.09 a piece.
Wow.
At the box stores, they're going to be $4.39 to $4.49. For the same exact picket from the same exact manufacturer.
So it's about a buck less or possibly more.
So those are going to be, you know, 30 to 40 cents less.
Okay.
But when you multiply that out, yeah. I mean, when you do your fence, you're talking 400 or 500 of those.
Right.
And that doesn't even include your post rails and pickets and the savings on your post and rails, excuse me, and your post and rails, the savings on those are dollars instead of, you know, 30 cents a piece.
So just to be clear to the listener, you don't have to be some big contractor to work with Rocky Mountain Forest Products. You can be a guy off the street, just call the people in Wheat Ridge, that's where Rocky Mountain Forest Products is, say, I want to build a fence, I want to come down, can I buy from you? And the answer is always going to be yes.
Yep. If you want 10 pieces of wood or 10,000 pieces of wood, I will take care of you.
How is your three wood right now?
Three wood is one of the few clubs in the back that's actually okay right now.
Is it?
Yeah, it's gotten better, but it's been ugly. The last three rounds I went out, I was into the hundreds. So.
Wow. Was that the front nine or the back nine?
That was combined.
Oh, it was combined.
That hurt my soul, but yeah.
All right, so the 31st, you, me, Ty, and Mandy are going out and playing, right?
Yep.
Okay. Once again, Rocky Mountain Forest Products. You can find them in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com. Have a good day, my friend.
Yep. Thanks so much, Eric. Bye-bye.
Time now for the lead. Not the lead, the final word.
Presented by Refreshed Snoring and Sleep Apnea Center. Eric, stop snoring and you can too. Go to refreshedsleep.com. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Just in case you missed it, as Eric and Justin Adams, who was nice enough to fill in for Mace yesterday on the show, predicted, the Rockies suffered another road loss last night at the hands of the Arizona Diamondbacks. A walk-off hit by pitch for David Peralta. It brought to mind a question for me. What is the most disappointing way to suffer a last-second loss? Is it a buzzer beater in basketball, a walk-off home run in baseball, a long field goal as time expires in football, or something other than one of those options?
Can I start, Mace?
Go ahead.
Hail Mary. Hail Mary, because that's exactly what it is. You are praying. You know, you don't pray for a guy to get hit by a pitch. You don't pray that a guy doesn't hit or you don't pray that a guy hits a buzzer beater. That stuff happens. A Hail Mary's a 50-yard chuck it up, and hopefully the ball bounces your way.
Yeah, you. That is, I mean, really, you lost because of a stroke of luck when you lose because of a Hail Mary. Now, it's a different kind of disappointment, though, to where, say, you, let's say you hit a batter, or you have a balk, or you have a bases loaded walk. Those are disappointing because you did that to yourself.
Right.
And so that's a different kind of disappointment, but I'd say probably kind of right up there because you're like, okay, that was my fault. I did that. That was my fault.
I'll give you another one that really stinks. A soft goal in hockey that the goalie should have made that save. He does it 10 out of 10 times in practice, and bang, the game is over.
Yeah, especially in sudden death if it happens like that, as it happens in the playoffs quite a bit. And then soccer, an own goal where you knock it into your own net.
Right.
Just in case you missed it, the International Olympic Committee is planning to allow athletes to protest before Olympic events, but bars political gestures on the podium or during competition. Do you agree with this decision by the IOC, and how do you think that they will enforce it?
How do they enforce it probably by punishment after the fact, because I don't think you can tell an athlete, okay, you can't protest on the medal stand, but if they go ahead and do it, they can go ahead and do it anyway. What are they going to send somebody up to tackle the athlete on the podium while they're protesting?
They could take away their medal.
That's true.
I mean, here's the thing: not every country competing in the Olympics, wink, wink, nod, nod, has freedom of speech. Like, gee, I don't know, in Russia, they say there's freedom of speech, but we all know there isn't freedom of speech, and Russia competes in the Olympics. China competes in the Olympics too, if I'm not mistaken. They don't allow freedom of speech. That is a communist country. So it just depends.
Yeah.
Not every country is like the United States or the UK or, you know, Germany.
It's interesting to me that they would actually, that the IOC would say something like this. Usually they would leave these matters to the Olympic committees of the nations involved. Because like you mentioned, you know, there are some countries where you have freedom of speech but if you're from Cuba or North Korea, you don't have that same freedom.
You got to make it universal, unfortunately. And honestly, if I was an Olympian competing, as long as I know, if I was on the medal stand and I knew that my medal would not be stripped, and I knew this was my last Olympics, I would do whatever the hell I wanted to do. Deal with it. Deal with it.
And if they're not going to strip the medals, if they're just going to say, okay, we'll send you home right then and there, I think we may have some athletes that do just that.
I've seen plenty of closing ceremonies. It's fine with me. Just make sure you pay for the ticket. That was Mountain Eye Appliance, just in case you missed it. You can try it before you buy. You can walk in any store, try out the appliances before you buy them. When you buy a car, you're going to want to take it for a test drive. Why not do that with appliances, especially at that type of price? Their sales staff can help you find something to fit your budget, something, you know, maybe to redo your entire kitchen. Go to Mountain High Appliance. You can find them in Louisville, Littleton. You can also find their clearance center in Denver. Coming up after the break, ESPN's Jeremy Fowler surveyed more than 50 NFL executives, coaches, and players to rank players at their various positions. This time they talked about the interior defensive line. Where is Shelby Harris on the list? That's next.